Welcome to this edition of Ecotones. I'm Joy LaClaire. On October 2nd, 2018, we sat down with current Bozeman High School sophomore Claire Vlasas, who, as a seventh grader at Sacagawea Middle School, initiated a project to bring solar electricity to the new addition then being planned for her school. Since the success of her organizing, she has been an inspiration to others, not just here in Gallatin Valley, but around the world, as her numerous awards demonstrate. These include the 2018 International Young Eco Hero Award, the Gloria Barron Prize for Young Heroes, and the U.S. Green Building Council of Montana Community Change Award. In this interview, she shares with us what she did and why she did it. We are speaking with Claire Vlasas at her home in Bozeman. And Claire is now a high school student at Bozeman High. Is that right?
Yeah.
Where did you go to middle school?
I went to middle school at Sacagawea Middle School in Bozeman.
So Claire, you are pretty famous now for having organized getting solar panels on the addition at Sacagawea Middle School. And I would like you to tell our listeners, how did that come about? Let's start with whatever gave you the idea to do it. What did you see as an opportunity?
Well, thanks so much. I'd hardly say that I'm famous, but I guess the whole reason why I started the project in the first place was because I really love our environment, and I spend most of my time at school, so when I had a class called Independent Study, I decided that what I wanted to do was to try and help my school become something better, and with that came the idea of putting solar panels on our new remodel.
So, let's start with that. You found out that there was going to be an addition to your school, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. And what grade were you in when that happened, when word came out?
I was in seventh grade.
Okay, you're seventh grade. So you hear that there's going to be an addition on the school and a remodeling. How did you get from that point to going, hey, how about solar energy?
Yeah, we have some solar panels on our own house, and we'd recently put them on, so it was a new idea for me and something I was just recently introduced to, and we have a friend at the MSU facilities department, EJ Hook. My mom told me that he does a lot of things to make MSU more green and environmentally friendly, and I thought, why not try and do that on our middle school?
Okay, so it seems like a really good idea. Did everybody immediately say, yes, let's do it?
No, not at first. As soon as I came up with the idea, my colleagues, I guess the teacher that runs that kind of class, Madame Bell, she's the French teacher, but she's also a friend, and she and I wrote out kind of like a few key points, and then Mr. Grissom, our principal, drove me to one of the meetings with the architects and the contractors, which I had hardly had any idea of what I was doing there, but that was way over my head. So when I presented the idea to them, people were a little bit skeptical at first, which totally makes sense because there are lots of holes in my plan, and they gave me ideas of what I need to do to make it possible because I was told that it was not economically feasible, so I decided I should start fundraising.
What month and year are we talking about at this point in the story?
I'd say
2016?
Like, yeah, I think I was 12 probably, and then like
Was it the fall, the winter, the spring?
I don't really remember much, but I think maybe winter, fallish, winter, I think.
Sometimes hard to tell the difference between fall and winter.
Time flies, yeah.
Yes. Okay, so was that a local architect firm here in Bozeman?
Yeah, Martel Construction.
You're informed of some holes in your project.
Yeah.
So then what did you do?
Well, I was a little bit defeated at first after the very first meeting because I'd never put myself out there in front of a whole board of adults and everything felt really big, like the chairs and the big round table and all the people.
How many people are we talking? You're by yourself. Well, Madame Belle is there, right?
No. And, oh, just no. Me and the principal.
Okay,
and
then, Mr. Grissom and yeah. You. And then who else was there?
There was the principal and me, and then probably like four or five architects and contractors and construction people.
So what was the scene like? Was there like a big table and plans all over the place? And
yeah, pretty much. There was a big table, and it was like an office meeting area. And they were discussing what they were going to do next with the remodel. And I introduced my idea, and then after the meeting, I went home and felt a little bit bummed, but I decided to use it as a learning moment and use what they had told me. They'd set out the barriers and the challenges for me, and so I just had to overcome them.
After you got a little bit over feeling defeated, what did you do? How did you go about climbing over that wall of defeat?
So my next meeting, I presented the idea to the school board, and I got a little bit more positive feedback from them and a lot of community interest. And with that came a promise of $25,000 seed money, which was amazing. And it really just kind of kickstarted the whole thing.
Okay, so give me an idea of the time between that first meeting with Martel Construction and the school board meeting. Are we talking weeks, months?
I think it was a couple weeks. Yeah.
So in a couple of weeks' time, you managed to put together your elevator speech or whatever we're calling it.
Yeah, I decided that I kind of figured out what I needed to do. So raise money, and with that came ideas on how I should sell it to people and start fundraising.
Can you think of any particular thing that you said that kind of got them to be positive about it?
Yeah, so before I presented, the facilities director of the middle school, Todd Swinehart, and some other people said that the school is going to be like a 21st century building. And I said, well, how can it be a 21st century building if it doesn't have green renewable energy with it? Oh. And that was a good selling point.
Indeed, indeed. That must have made you feel less defeated when they gave $25,000 seed money.
Yeah. I mean, I was still like pretty young, so I really had no idea like how much money that actually was, but it really was a kickstart to making this project possible and brought like a new energy to me to keep going after.
Well, I would think it certainly lended credibility to then go to other people and say, well, the school board's kicked in some money. Mm-hmm. Part of what you said, if I understood you correctly, was that you figured out how much was needed.
Yeah.
How much did you think that was?
At the very first meeting that Principal Grissom drove me to, it was estimated that it would be about $150,000 for the solar panels, which later went down quite a bit as time passed. And we did a feasibility study, and it went down to $130,000 and then to $110,000 and then a whole lot less for when we actually put the panels up.
And do you think that that was because the price of solar equipment was going down, or was the original estimate just too much? That, like, did you overestimate or combination?
Yeah, so I think solar panels are, and green energy is a thriving market right now. And so I think with new technology, price has been going down. And then our final cost reduction, I think, was partially part of the charity of one green energy company locally.
Oh. We are speaking with current Bozeman High School sophomore Claire Vlasses, who, as a seventh grader at Sacagawea Middle School, initiated a project to bring solar electricity to the new addition then being planned for her school. Up until this point, you had pretty much been doing it yourself, right? You were the primary.
Yeah.
But did others become involved?
Yeah. So later in my fundraising, I had gotten or I'd applied for a lot of grants and done other kind of fundraisers, but I met our biggest donor, which was the Candida Fund, and I was told that to make the project possible, there needs to be a base of support from the students and the staff. And they gave me a few things that I needed to do, like a solid budget and having a group of students to work with me to make it possible. And so because of them, I reached out to other kids and we had a little student committee and a lot of support from other like students and staff.
And did that committee have a name?
Yeah, it was the Solar Makes Sense Committee because our like slogan is Solar Makes Sense at Sacagawea Middle School. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, I heard that you actually met with Diana Blank, who's the originator of the Candida Fund. Tell us about meeting her. Where did you meet her? With whom were you when you met her? And what was that like?
I was really fortunate I got to meet her. She's an amazing person. And it was at our school, at Sacagawea Middle School, and I was with Principal Grissom, who's always been supporting me, and Miss Blank's Montana, another like person that works under her, Tim Stevens, who's also a really awesome person. And they laid out the plan for me and set goals for me that I and the group of students with me achieved.
So is Miss Blank a local person?
She spends some of her time all over the country and specifically in Georgia, but then also spends a lot of time here in Bozeman.
Uh-huh. And I also read that the Candida Fund, and I hear that on the radio.
Yeah.
Because it,
very generous.
Yeah. Yes. I heard that it's named after her children.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what that's about? Like, what are her kids' names that it ended up Candida?
It's a mix of her children's names.
So, oh, I see. Yeah. But you're not sure what their names are?
No.
No, okay. Well, I was just curious about that. Okay, so you've organized this committee, Solar Makes Sense Committee of Sacagawea Middle School.
Mm-hmm.
Then what did you all do?
We spent a lot of time after school and during lunch and stuff making jars to put in local businesses and making presentations for other students and other community groups and raising awareness and planning out fundraisers and just about everything that we needed to do.
And were they also, you were seventh grade then, right?
I was in eighth grade.
Oh, you were eighth grade, yeah. By then. Were they mostly in your same year?
Most of them were actually sixth graders, which my little sister is part of a grade, so mostly her friends. But
and what is your sister's name?
Ursula Vlasis, yeah. But I there are some from other grades too, but mostly sixth graders because once I left and all the kids in my grade moved on to high school, we wanted to keep the project moving.
And about how many kids would you say were on the committee at any one time?
Probably anywhere between, like, 5 to 10.
Mm-hmm. That's a good size group.
But we had lots of support from many other kids, and a lot of people wanted to be on the committee, too. But not everyone could make every day and stuff like that.
Right, that's just the way it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what were some of the projects? You mentioned you were making jars that you put here and there. What was the purpose of the jars?
We put jars in some local businesses as a way to raise money and then also raise awareness and support.
So the idea was people would put money into the jars?
Yeah. It wasn't the best fundraising, but it definitely raised awareness around the community, which is exactly what it was designed for.
Now, I seem to recall researching that Ursula actually wrote a grant.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, Ursula wrote a grant to the Youth Giving Project and got us $3,000, so pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That organization is a panel of kids, and then they can decide what kind of grant that, like, they have a set number of, they have a lot of money to, like, give out to the community for grants and projects started by kids.
And is that in Bozeman or?
Yeah, it's part of the Bozeman Community foundation. Mm-hmm.
The jars thing, is that what's been known as the pennies for power? Or is that something different? Okay, tell us about Pennies for Power.
The Pennies for Power was a fundraiser that the committee and I designed. What this fundraiser was, we've had some fundraisers at our school in the past, but usually they don't have a lot of participation in them. And so we tried to get a lot of interest for the students. And we raised a whole lot of money through a week of fundraiser where everyone came in and donated some sort of money to the project.
Can you tell how much money when you say a lot of money?
I think it was about $8,000 plus $2,000 of money from a talent show, and then money from student councils and leadership classes at the school. So cumulative about $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've got Halloween written on my notes. So what's that about?
My little sister made me a solar panel costume one year. It's not really a big part of the project, but
it was part of the story. You were actually, when I say you, I mean you plural, you were actually thinking way outside of the scope of just the school. I understand that you took your fundraising to the adult spelling bee and even the Santa run.
Yeah, we went to every single one of the Bozeman School Foundation and school district fundraisers too and set up a little booth there to make money.
In my researching, I have a question. I heard that one of the problems was that people were saying there was a 50 kilowatt limit. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what that was about?
Sure. So currently with this, it's kind of all part of legislation right now, but there's a limit of how much solar energy can be on one building, and that's 50 kilowatt hours, which is not enough to cover our school's electricity bill completely, but it's part of it. So there's been a lot of legislation to take off the cap and have more kilowatt hours available for public institutions, which 50 kilowatt hours is more than enough for a home, but it's not enough for bigger buildings. And so this kind of legislation is part of current events, but it's a big thing right now.
Do you have any sense of why that limit was, what the sense of the imposition of that limit is or was?
I'm not completely sure why they decided to have a cap. And I think it was when solar panels were a pretty new thing. So maybe for energy companies to ensure both kind of energy instead of making it limitless for green energy.
So are you saying that it's possible that the energy companies were fearful of competition or that their income would decrease if a limitless amount of solar were allowed? Is that your sense?
No, the solar panels, the solar cap is just how many solar panels the energy companies will be able to pay back. So something interesting about solar panels that I learned throughout this process is that if you overgenerate solar on one day, it goes into an energy grid. And then if you don't generate enough another day, you can buy it back to them. So the extra energy that you make, you kind of sell to the grid and then you buy it back. So the cap is just for how much you can buy back.
Oh.
Or how much you can have on that the company will pay for letting you pay back on the grid. It's kind of complicated and I'm not completely sure about everything, so not sure if everything I said was completely accurate, but that's my sense of it. I'm not sure why it's a thing and I probably need to do more research myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned that it's current events. What is your understanding of what the situation now? Because we are talking about what was the situation, but it's changing now? Is that your understanding?
There's been a lot of legislation tried, or a lot of bills trying to get passed that will remove the cap, but I don't think any of them have passed in Montana yet.
Is the system up and running?
Yep, it is. Yeah.
And when did it begin producing electricity?
I think August. Let me check.
August of 2018?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Somewhere I read it's about 25% of what the school uses. Is that
your sense? I'm not sure how much exactly, but it's definitely saving us money every day, and that mm-hmm. money can be used for other educational purposes or giving back to the community, which is really cool.
I think I saw a quote by maybe Principal Grissom that it's his belief that at the current rate, it will pay for itself in 10 years.
Yeah.
Is that your understanding also?
Yeah. So everyone says that it will pay for itself, but we already paid for it up front. So technically it's making money already. It's
good point.
Yeah. Every single ounce of energy that it's making right now is money that's not going to the electric bill and is going to other education.
Oh, bravo. I understand that you actually, out of the money you raised, you actually had money left over. Is that true?
Yeah, so the cost went down quite a bit, substantially, in fact. And so with the extra money, we used it to get a matching grant, I believe, and is now going to fund solar panels on 2 other elementary schools.
So is there anything else we should talk about in terms of what happened to get it the solar on to Sacagawea Middle School? Did we leave anything out in your work in doing that?
Not in my work, but I think it's important to mention how this project couldn't be possible without the generosity of other people. And I've really learned a lot about how to connect with people. And I've learned a lot about the importance of being generous, because this project really couldn't be possible without our community support. And although it sounds like it was me that did it, it definitely was us. It was a group thing. So
you were kind of a catalyst. Sometimes it just takes one person to get things started. But
it takes a whole group to make it actually happen.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Well, even though you just said that, and I absolutely get it that that's true, you've won a number of awards. So I'm not coming at this as an ego trip for you, but I think there is great value as being an example for others, because it's all too common for people to think, oh, I can't do anything. I'm just one person. I can't do anything like that.
Yeah.
So share with us some of the awards that you've won, and try not to be shy about it.
I've got a lot more recognition than I deserve. I've gotten recognition from the United States Green Building Council, from an EcoHero Awards.
So that was the 2018 International Young EcoHero Action for Nature Award?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Action for Nature EcoHero Award, yep. I've gotten to Ford Montana's 25 Under 25 Award, and my most recent was the Gloria Barron Prize for Young Heroes Award.
Yes. Talk about that some more. I had not known about the author, T.A. Barron.
Yeah.
That was news to me, but he sounds very interesting. So who was Gloria Barron?
His mother.
And do you want to tell listeners very briefly who T.A. Barron is, for those of us who don't have any idea?
He's an author who's written a number of books. He's written the Merlin Chronicles, and he's another very generous person.
When you get these awards, do you travel to receive them, or how does that work?
No. For one of them, we did an online Google Hangout session, which was online. But since it's usually international or just national, it's hard to get everyone to the right place. So
I take it that the 2018 International Young EcoHero, was that in San Francisco or something?
Yeah. But that one was you can participate online.
Uh-huh. And the Gloria Barron one, is that Boulder, Colorado? What about the U.S. Green Building Council of Montana Community Champion Award?
Yeah, that was in Helena. So a few of them have been in other parts of Montana. I go to those.
Okay,
ones.
Good.
Not too far.
Yeah. The Gloria Barron Prize, is that the one you won most recently?
Yes.
Yes. That comes with $10,000. Tell us about that.
I had a lot of letters of support from really important people, like different teachers and our principal again and school board members, and they must have said something, right? I don't know.
Well, the $10,000 prize, this is a grant that you get to give some organization, right?
It's money that goes just to me. So, yeah, so I think I'm going to use a portion of it to give thanks to some of the students in specific that helped me, because they donated a lot of time to help make this project happen. And it's always nice to receive a thank you.
Very good point. Very good point. It's a circle of energy.
Yes. Pass it forward.
Yes. Yes. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you think is pertinent that our listeners would benefit in knowing?
Well, if you're ever interested in trying to do some sort of community change and make your community a little bit better, make sure you try and use any hard moments as learning moments, and think about things in a way to try and live and learn a little bit, and just believe that what you and community members around you can do something. So what you can do is really important and shouldn't let it slow you down at all.
That's word to the wise for any age group. Well, Claire Blasis, thank you so much for sharing your adventure in solar energy with us. And I'm just thrilled that you have accomplished this much. And you're 15 now, is that,
yeah.
That right? And what year are you in high school?
I'm a sophomore.
A sophomore. I just can't wait to see what you're going to do next. Do you have any ideas of what you're going to do next?
Not sure yet, but
okay.
Keep my doors open.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today on Ecotones.
Thank you.
On this edition of Ecotones, our guest has been current Bozeman High School sophomore, Claire Vlasis, who, as a seventh grader at Sacagawea Middle School, initiated a project to bring solar electricity to the new addition then being planned for her school. Since that success, she has been an inspiration to others, not just here in Gallatin Valley, but around the world, as her numerous awards and recognition demonstrate. These include the 2018 International Young EcoHero Award, Gloria Barron Prize for Young Heroes, and the U.S. Green Building Council of Montana Community Change Award. Bozeman School District Facility Manager Todd Swinehart tells us that with the $32,000 residual funds from the Sacagawea School solar project, which came in so far under budget due to the plummeting cost of solar energy, they were able to get a Northwestern Energy Universal System Benefit grant of $48,000, which the Bozeman Unified School District has matched to install solar energy on the Hyolite and Meadowlark schools this fall in 2018. In addition, there are plans to install solar panels at another local school in 2019. See how the inspiration, motivation, and actualization of one young woman snowballs for a greener world and allows for more school money to go to the direct education of our young? Brava, Claire Vlasis. Brava. An ecotone is a transition zone between two biomes. It is where two communities meet and integrate. It may be narrow or wide. It may be local, the zone between a field and forest, or regional, the transition between forest and grassland. An ecotone may appear as a gradual blending of two communities across a broad area, or it can manifest itself as a sharp boundary. Ecotones explores the variety and diversity of the greater Gallatin Valley community and beyond, offering audio ecotones as our community's influence and are influenced by each other, bridging limits and boundaries, and celebrating diversity. Ecotones is a Beyond the Deep End production, recorded and produced by Joy LaClaire in Bozeman, Montana. We thank Gail Schanzler and the Bozeman Daily Chronicle for their reporting on local schools and our outstanding young heroes, such as Claire Vlasses.